The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
Storytelling makes us more empathetic and emotionally connected. Listening to the stories that other people tell and sharing our own has been shown to have a profound effect on building understanding between diverse groups. The author Colin McCann is one of the people behind an organisation challenging young people to get involved in storytelling with his group Narrative 4, and he joins me now. Colin, thanks for being with us today. And when I say storytelling, will you explain what you mean by that? Is it orally sharing stories in person, or how does it work?
Yeah, so we bring young people together really all over the world, but we're also in 50%, almost 50% of Irish schools now. And we ask them to sort of step into one another's shoes and tell stories back to one another in the first person. So you become me and I become you, which is sort of a leap of radical empathy that changes all sorts of things, like, you know, your brain chemistry, the way you think about someone, the way you think about their community. And so, for example, you know, we bring young people from South Hill in Limerick together with young people from Shankill up north, which is an amazing project when you think about it, particularly considering that, say, some of the young people from Belfast didn't even know that there was a city of Limerick. And then suddenly when they get together and begin to share these sort of small personal stories, the world becomes, well, I suppose I'd say, Claire, it becomes messy mm-hmm. in a very good way. You know, it becomes nuanced.
Yeah, so you start to develop an understanding, and this is not just an anecdotal evidence we're talking about here. This is a research that was conducted to look at how the empathy is very deep, isn't it? When you start to share stories in this way, it really works.
It's profoundly good, and you know, given all the turbulence that's going on in the world, anything that can help us calm the turbulence, even if it's just a drop in the ocean, even if it's just, you know, one person's story, it helps us enormously. You know, young people, as you and I know, they've gone through, in particular, we've all gone through it, but young people in particular have gone through this terrible epidemic of loneliness and isolation, and a lot of their world is lived within arm's reach. As far as the phone goes is as far as the world goes. Mm-hmm. But asking them then to sit in a room with somebody that they might not have met before, and maybe even somebody that they don't like or have never really learned anything about before, is a big challenge, and it's a scary thing. And I've seen young people, you know, literally tremble in their shoes at the thought that they had to talk to somebody that they'd never met before. And it's always worked out extraordinarily well in the end.
Which, your work has been based on this type of thing in the past. We know your story of Paragon, you know, a shape with endless size, telling the story of war from fathers on both sides of the Israeli and Palestinian war. I mean, have you always felt that it's a lack of empathy, the inability to listen, that leads us to potentially infinite suffering and war and brutality? Yeah.
Well, I mean, some people might call that sort of sentimental, and they might call it pie in the sky. And I'm prepared to wear my heart on my sleeve and say that it's probably far, it's not as easy to slam a missile into a fruit market in Baghdad once you know the story behind the people who are actually living there. But there are many governments, and there are many corporations, and there are many other individuals around the world who were invested in not knowing, because not knowing helps us to do the things that dehumanize the other. And so, you know, for most of my career, you know, I am a storyteller. But what I really love doing, to be honest, is listening to someone else's story and then trying to figure out if there's a way to, you know, civically involve young people, say young people from Limerick or young people from Dublin, in these community projects, whereby they take control of what's going on. And if that's sentimental, then you know, so be it. I'm very happy to say so. It's amazing what happens. in a classroom, when you ask young people to step into someone else's shoes, and the ideas that they come up with, the brain is suddenly sort of on fire in all sorts of different directions. It's really quite wonderful.
Can you tell me a bit more about that, about what it's like and why it is so profound?
Well, you know, you go into a classroom and then, so for example, I saw young people from Eastern Kentucky get together with young people from the South Bronx. And at first, they couldn't be more, they couldn't be more dissimilar, it seemed to them anyway. One group is black, one group is white, one group is rural, one group is urban, one group is red politically, Trump country, the other one is firmly Democratic and blue. And at first, they do stand at opposite ends of the room. But then, when you ask the young woman with the hijab from the South Bronx to tell the story of a young man who's down in Kentucky, you know, driving through the hollers of Kentucky, as they would say, and suddenly the world becomes different. And he realizes that beneath her hijab, she's wearing these AirPods, and she's listening to Beyonce's most recent album. Mm-hmm. And she's been listening to last week, Beyonce's most recent country album. And then suddenly they're like, oh, well, we're more connected than we thought we were.
And how does the exchange of stories happen? So how does she come to know his story? Does he tell it first, or how does it work?
Yeah, well, the beauty of all this is it's facilitated through teachers who are my heroes. And I think we should be paying them more and looking after them more. But let's say we get them together in a classroom. The two students would sit down together. They'd each tell each other a personal story. And then they would come back and rejoin the group. And then they would tell that other person's story. So I would be there together with you, and I would get into the group, and I would say, "Hi, my name is Claire," and I would begin to tell your story. And what happens then? It's something nuclear that happens, because people begin to recognize that they're not the only living thing in the world, and the world extends beyond them.
And empathy increases, respect for others increases, reduction in political polarization. All of these things we can only welcome, of course, when we see the discourse of late. What are your views on what's been happening this week, Colm, with Iran?
Listen, I'm heartbroken, and I look at all of this, and I think about, you know, the indifference that's going on, you know, at the highest levels to, you know, to any form of nuance, any form of engagement, any form of dialogue, and you know, people are invested, as I said, you know, people are invested in creating this division because they want you to think that the Iranians are monolithic, and they want you to think that they deserve what is coming their way. And of course it is none of that whatsoever. And I, you know, I do think that there might come a time when we could start to be more nuanced about it. At the moment, in the heart and the heat of the matter, it is nothing but, you know, terribly, terribly sad. And in fact, you know, it makes me angry to think of all my many friends across the Middle East who are suffering because of the whims of a few, let's face it, men, these damp white loaves, who are in power, who want to exert their power over others. And so it's very sad.
So that's what you believe this is, rather than any imminent threat to the United States, which is what we heard from Donald Trump and his administration over the last couple of days, that it was them or us.
Yeah. We all know what that is. That's pure rhetoric. And one of the things about this, the whole storytelling project, is that it doesn't seek to change anybody else's mind. It doesn't seek to be didactic. It doesn't seek to lord things over other people. Anybody who believes that there was an imminent threat to the United States, you know, has been taking some funny substances. I mean, it's just not true. It's blatant. It seems blatantly unfulfilling.
Colm, even around the storytelling that we've been listening to here on the programme over the last couple of days, you have Irish people who went on holidays to Dubai who can't get home now to their children and they're terribly distressed. And you see people saying to them, how would you feel if you were in Iran? And I think about your project and I think about storytelling and swapping and lived experiences and how there will be much greater understanding if you put yourself in the shoes of the other person on both sides of that.
Exactly. And there always is more than one side. If we could talk to those people who are stuck in those places, and you've been telling fabulous stories, and let's face it, you know, the world is full of stories. The only distance between you and me is a story. But if we could get them to talk to one another, whether it be you know, in person or online, and begin to realize that there's so much more complications going on there, maybe we could just in a tiny way forgive one another some of our more foolish instances, and I think in the end you begin to repair all of the stuff that's so very broken around us. I mean, right now it feels to me anyway like we're in one of the most shattered times, and it's hard to look at a way out of it, but we have to at least try.
Colm, thank you so much for taking the time to speak to us. Colm McCann, author and co-founder of Narrative 4.
The Clare Byrne Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.